and we are so grateful to be here. You see their amazing talent. Often churches invite us because of them, not me. So here I am. I'll try my best, but hard to follow them. I'm so grateful. It's been quite a while since we've been out. I used to travel quite a bit and minister, and we did it as a whole family, and it's been a while. So it was just I was kind of over there in my own world for a moment, just worshiping the Lord and enjoying hearing them sing. And I'm thankful for a good wife and good family that has followed me on this journey of ministry, and here we are in Florence with you today. So thank you for having us. I want to say, before we dive in here, it has been a real pleasure and a real joy of mine to just share with you already, to be here for the Bible study this morning, to have dinner last night, to answer some questions and have a good conversation. We just felt right at home. We felt like we were part of the family, and you guys have been so generous and so wonderful toward not only myself, but my wife and children, and it's just been such a blessing, so thank you. I want to dive in here today. And we're going to open up to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, famous passage of Scripture. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the ESV version. So you may have ESV, you may have NIV. Hebrews 12, starting at verse 1. I'll read the text and then we'll pray. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your word, for your very presence. You are bread, you are water, you are life. And I know how much I need you. And we all need you to hear today, to come speak to us, to come teach us. Lord, I pray that we not only just simply sit under and hear some kind of lecture, but that you would truly come in your word, in the power of your word, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, to impact us, to transform us, to shape us into the image of your dear Son. Father, I pray that you would further knit this church closer together and just be among us in this special time. We give you praise. We thank you. We pray for your glory and the benefit of your people. In Christ's name, amen. Simple title, simple message today. I just want to encourage you with me. This is really the title of the message, is look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. I thought, perfect Sunday school answer. What is the best thing that I can present? What is the subject or theme that I should turn to? And over, I just come back to the central theme of, it's all about Jesus, right? I mean, isn't that the perfect Sunday school answer? Well, what's the answer? Jesus. If any kid gives that answer, then they've got an A. I mean, that is truly the answer. But today I want to look at it specifically, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and the language there, as it encourages us, specifically in verse 2, to look to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter, or the author and finisher of our faith. And praying about our visit and praying about what I should speak on and how I should speak, and just pleading with the Lord, Lord, please give me your grace, give me your help. I want you to help me and help these people, so would you please come? And over, the Lord is reminding about some of the lessons that we've learned recently as a family, this past year, this past couple of years. So we live in Wilmore. I'm in my last part of my program at Asbury Theological Seminary. I'm finishing up my degree in just a couple of months, and we've been on quite a journey the last several years. I pastored in Eastern Kentucky several years ago. I was there for 4 years. With God's leading and the journey we've taken, we've landed in Wilmore, and there I am, and here I am today. But there's been a lot of things that have happened and a lot of lessons we have learned, and one thing I felt like I could do today that might be beneficial or encouraging is not only to encourage us to look at Jesus, but to be somewhat of a messenger of the Asbury outpouring and the lessons we've learned in our current season of life. And much of that has come from or as a result of us partaking and visiting that Asbury outpouring or revival. Some of the lessons I want to pass on to you and encourage you with is one is this, is I've learned to, or I am learning, I should say, to have a total reliance on the Holy Spirit. Now, we can say that, right? As a people, as Christians, as a church, we talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about being dependent on the power of God, but it's easy to say, harder to do, right? We often take things into our own hands. We often try to figure out the Christian life in our own strength. We lean often to our own understanding. We often try to bring people in by our programs and our structures, and we try to organize, or even maybe I should say it this way, domesticate the Holy Spirit. And he's pretty wild and untamed. And sometimes we try to box him in and cage him in, but we can't tame Aslan, as it were. We must be totally dependent and reliant on the Holy Spirit. John 15:5 says it this way, "For apart from me," Jesus says, "you can do nothing." And that's literally what he means. That apart from abiding in Christ, who is the true vine, we are the branches. Abiding in the life of Christ, without that, we can do nothing. Apart from that, we are cut off from the life source. I mean, everything in our life is truly fueled and empowered and equipped by the presence of Christ in us and through us. And it is very easy to forget that. It is very easy to sort of just launch into cruise control and sort of hinge ourselves from the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We become very comfortable doing things our own way. Another thing I've learned at the Asbury outpouring is a call to humility. And this phrase has been tossed around a lot in our community, radical humility. And this is something that I'm sure it's going to take a lifetime as we are learning to walk in radical humility, to know that it's not about us, to know that even our visit here with you, as often as I would like to lean in and think about that this is about us or our family or us being here or that we have the answers for you, I would like to sort of in pride say that, but the truth of the matter is today, as I'm standing up here, there is a sense of pressure that he's here for a candidate visit, he's going to give us the answers, and you know, I'm going to be able to lead this church or that church, or I'm here to impress someone. All of that doesn't matter. What matters today, and I want to say this very clearly and very directly, is that we look at Jesus. Not Scott Neville, or not the Neville family, or not the next candidate, or not the next plan you have for your church. It is truly the answer if we look at Jesus and depend on him and walk in this radical humility. It is a call or a return to simple faith, maybe even childlike faith. I think for a while as a seminary student, I sort of got buried in books and essays and, you know, deep in theological works and thought, man, I'm really figuring God out. I mean, I'm really kind of mentally grasping who he is, and I'm learning from all these, you know, world-class professors, and I'm chopping it up with all these guys in seminary, and there is this sort of intellectual pride that seeps in, and the Lord has recently sort of been crushing those idols and reminding me that it is all about Jesus. Not to get hung up in the weeds of theology, as important as theology is, and you will learn I am a proponent of theological knowledge. But it must be anchored in a childlike faith. It must be anchored in the simple truth that I can turn to Jesus, that I'm a son or a daughter of the Father, and I rely on him for my identity. That's the lesson we're learning as a family, that we belong to Abba. He is our Father. We are simply children trying to walk hand in hand with him. And again, before we go any further, let me confess to you, I have a whole list of inadequacies I could lay out before you, but I simply want to confess this. I did a little bit in our Bible study earlier that I do not have the answers. I'm not a church growth guru or an expert. I don't know how to bring youth in or young adults in. I don't have a 12-step process or program. I don't have a large resume. I don't have any of that. I don't have the answers, but I can tell you this. I know who has the answers. I don't have the answers, but I know a guy. Thank you for that, brother. He gave me that earlier. I know someone, and I have a relationship with this Jesus. And he talks to me, and you have a relationship with this Jesus, and he talks to you. You have had a relationship long before I got here, long before I probably had a relationship, many of you. You know Christ. You walk with him. And the only thing that I can do in terms of my leadership is just come alongside of you and to honor what God is already doing here at Florence Alliance Church and to honor the legacy that's already been laid down here by those that have come before us, to know that we are walking in humility and we are walking with Christ and we are all children of the Father and we are all learning from him and by him and through him. And this is all about him. So if I come in here with a sense of arrogance or pride, then I want you to call me out on it and say, look, you don't have the answers. And I'll say, amen, brother. Amen, sister. The Lord is teaching me this. The remedy for us all is found in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Look unto Jesus. Look at Jesus. The context of Hebrews 12, as we come up to our text, well, the author is simply known as the author of Hebrews. He likely writes to Jewish and Gentile believers who were being drawn away or pulled apart or pulled back to the Jewish religion in danger of forsaking Christ. This is why we have a lot of warnings throughout Hebrews, not to fall away from grace or not to fall away from Christ, but to come back to him, to come back to the simplicity of who this Jesus is, how he has called you, how he has transformed you. To not go to the right or to the left, but look at Jesus. There's this great story, a dear friend and minister during the Asbury outpouring. In fact, the young man who was preaching that day when the Asbury revival or outpouring broke out, his name was Zach Meerkreeps. He's an Alliance guy. You may know of him, know his name. He shared this story, and I'll share it with you, that there were many times during the Asbury outpouring and during those services for those 17, 18 days that as many people started to filter in, and first it started with students, and then it sort of expanded, and suddenly the whole town of Wilmore, if you've been to Wilmore, we've got a Subway and a coffee shop, and that's it. One light, a Dollar General. I mean, those things are everywhere, right? Dollar General. We do have that. So we have what we need to survive. Coffee, sandwiches, and Dollar General. But the town was taken over. I mean, all the plumbing broke. Subway was out of sandwiches by 1 o'clock every day. I mean, it was just overwhelming to a small town. But why did these people come? God was there. He came. He came down, as it were. His manifest presence came down. And as you sat in that auditorium, nothing special about that building, right? It's a beautiful place, but that's not the sacredness or the holiness of it. It was the manifest presence of God as people came and felt that overwhelming peace. We sat there one day for 2 or 3 hours and it felt like 10 minutes because it was refreshing and peaceful. But Zach shares this story and I want to share it with you as an illustration for our point here to look at Jesus. He said that as people filtered in and things started to sort of at times become focused on the crowd and maybe some chaotic moments happened where there were some manifestations happening around the altar where people were praying and things were happening. And we know when a lot of people come together and there's an emphasis on the power of the Holy Spirit, there can be these things that happen. And Zach said he remembers that he would often talk to his children, you know, his daughter saying something. Maybe she's needing something. Dad, dad, dad. And he gently grabs the chin of the child and says, hey, hey, look at dad, look at dad, look at me, to grab the attention. And he said there was oftentimes during the Asbury outpouring where sort of figuratively he had to do this to the congregation. Hey, hey, people of God, look at Jesus. It's not about what's going on up here. It's not about what's going on with this crowd or that crowd or this person or that person. Hey, with me, let us look at Jesus again. So today I want to do the same thing. I want to sort of grab us all together and with me say, look at Jesus. You are a church in transition. You are a church with a lot of conversations to have, a lot of decisions to be made, and I want to encourage you, dear brothers and sisters, look at Jesus. Before you look at me fully and my family, look at Christ. Look at him. Gaze upon him. And there you will be safe. And there you will find refuge. The theme of Hebrews, if you've read Hebrews, it's wonderful. The theme of Hebrews is the supremacy of Christ. The phrase we see over and over is, Jesus is greater than. Christ is greater than Moses. Christ is greater than Abraham. Jesus is greater than the law. We see this constant reminder to look upon Christ because He is supreme. He is altogether beautiful and lovely and worthy of our praise and worthy of the service of our lives and our hearts. Look upon Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is greater than. And dear Florence Alliance Church, I want to say, Jesus is greater than your struggles now. He is greater than your time of transition now. He is greater than the problem of finding and securing a pastor. He is greater than all of this and stands above it and is sovereign and in control of every little detail about it. And He will guide you. He will lead you. He will gently shape you and conform you further to His image as you transition. Look at Jesus. This is the refrain I'm going to give to you over and over. As we come to Hebrews 11, just before our text, the great chapter, Hebrews 11, known as the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Faith chapter, where listed in the chapter all these great examples of, yes, extraordinary people, but again, ordinary people, broken people, people with sin issues and faults and failures and weariness and struggles in their life, yet they overcame by their faith in this Messiah, Jesus. So we can tend to read that and think, oh man, these people are great and they're superheroes and look at them, how they conquered kingdoms and how they endured persecution and will I be ever able to do that? I don't know. That seems tough and seems daunting. Yes, it is. But apart from Christ, you can do nothing. You must look at Jesus and over again be reconnected to that vine and draw life and strength from. So we see the Hall of Faith and we see all these great things. And then we come to Hebrews 12, and it makes a lot of sense as we get to verse 1 and 2 based on what he said in Hebrews 11 about endurance and perseverance. How are we to endure? How are we to persevere? Florence Alliance Church, how are you to move forward? Well, the answer is this. Well, one, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The man who stood up here for, 28 years, I think it was? 27, 28 years? Your former pastor? He's among the great cloud of witnesses here. You, dear elders, brothers and sisters who have been here and fighting the good fight, you are among the great cloud of witnesses. This church exists. This church is here in this area because many of you labored and worked hard from the very beginnings, the humble beginnings. You are among the great cloud of witnesses, along with the saints of Hebrews 11. So we come into this thing knowing that there are people behind us pushing us, encouraging us, and we stand on that foundation, and we're on their shoulders, as it were, and we're only able to minister and see because of their hard work. So I honor your former pastor and his work and his labor he's put in here. Praise God for him. Praise God for his faithfulness. Praise God for you. For your generosity, for your warmth of character and the largeness of your heart. Praise God for you. Today I know I am among a great cloud of witnesses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run this race with endurance. We see here a hint at the universal human struggle. Again, I am with you. You are with me. Just because I'm standing on this platform behind this pulpit with this open Bible simply means that I'm standing here with an open Bible. I'm on the same playing field as you. We are all servants of Jesus Christ. We are all partakers of the human experience. Yes, partakers of the Holy Spirit, but yet we are still broken. Yet we still fall. Yet we still fail in many ways. And I'm no different. I could rattle off all kinds of stories of my own life. But dear brothers and sisters, know that we are all broken and we all need to lean in to Jesus over and over again. So let us lay aside every weight and every sin. that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This is the encouragement to run, to persevere, to endure, because life is going to be hard. Church transitions are going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. Every step of the way, there's going to need to be grace and learning and understanding and patience, gentleness. We're going to need to model Christ. You're going to need to seek His will and His wisdom. You're going to need to turn to these sacred pages as a group, as a people, as a congregation, as a leadership team. Run the race that is before you, because you stand on the shoulders of the great cloud of witnesses, because you are casting aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, that tries to pull you down or that tries to hinder you. If you look at Christ, you will be okay. If you gaze upon His beauty, it seems like all things just start to fade away. All other problems, all other struggles in our life, it just simply starts to go away. Look at Jesus. Let me give you some glimpses, some quick snapshots of this person I'm asking you to look at. Now listen, I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher, and sometimes I get a little excited and passionate. So you just roll with me here, especially when we're looking at Christ. Look at Jesus, and I'm going to give you some examples from the Gospels very quickly. Look at Jesus first calling the weary. Dear brothers and sisters, are you weary? He says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The only verse that speaks about the heart of Christ. And what is the heart of Christ? Gentle and lowly. Here is the picture of your Savior. Gentle and lowly. And He speaks to His people, "Come to me, all who are weary." Are you weary? That's the condition to come to Christ. Weariness. That's it. Are you weary? If you're a non-believer, you can be weary and come to Christ and experience Him and be born again. If you're a believer, you can be weary, struggling through life, struggling in your own faith, yet you can come to Christ over and over. Look at Jesus keeping company with sinners, Matthew 9. "And Jesus reclined at table in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to His disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" The religious elite, in their own corner, in their own echo chamber, in their own insular, focused inwardly community, sneered their noses up at Jesus. "Why are you eating with sinners? Why do you break bread with them? You shouldn't mix in with this kind of a crowd." But when He heard it, He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician. They don't need a doctor, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I come not to call the righteous, but sinners." Here is the heart of Jesus. Look at Jesus calling the weary. Look at Jesus eating with sinners. Look at Jesus keeping company with them. Look at Jesus offering living water, John 4. Jesus said to her, the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." Are you weary? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you need to eat with Christ? Do you need to commune with Him? He offers you living water today and always. Look at Jesus exercising radical forgiveness for the woman caught in the very act of adultery. In the middle of her sin, in the middle of her shame and guilt and disgrace, how does Jesus care? How does Jesus treat her? Well, unlike the religious elite of the day who were ready to stone her, what does He say to her as He stoops down to the ground and writes some mysterious note? And then rises to His feet and says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then He gets back down and starts to write something again. And one by one they drop the stones. He pulls the woman to her feet and He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Here's the heart of this Jesus I'm asking you to look at. Does this describe the character and the nature of your church? Then that's a good gauge and a good indicator on how we are following Christ, how we are treating our neighbor, how we are treating our enemies, how we are treating ourselves, our children, those within our own home. Look at Jesus cleansing the temple, not only concerned about grace and forgiveness, but concerned about the purity of God's house that should be called a house of prayer. Psalm 69:9 is quoted to describe the emotional state of Jesus as he watches his house become a marketplace where they can buy and sell religious items. For zeal of your house has consumed me, literally translated, has eaten me up. I feel passionate about the purity of God's house, Jesus says, and he cleanses the temple, concerned of her holiness. Look at Jesus as he weeps over his friends. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, John 11:33, of course, at the tomb of Lazarus. And then John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, but one of the most powerful. Because here we see the humanity of Christ. Jesus looks upon the city of Jerusalem and weeps. He sees the tears of his friends weeping over Lazarus, and it compels him to weep with them. Look at Jesus in his care and his compassion. Look at Jesus next to Florence Alliance Church, in the middle of her as she transitions, gently reaching out and shaping and conforming and moving you ahead to the next step, the next chapter, the next season of your life and your ministry. Will it look different than your previous chapter? Yes. It will need to. But Jesus will guide every step of the way because he has a mission for you. Here in this community, in this context, he wants this mission to be extended and expanded and reach out to those who are least and last and lost. Those who are hungry, those who are weary, those who are thirsty, those who are caught in the very act. How will we react to them and respond to them? How will we treat them? Jesus weeps over his friends. Yes, the very next portion of that story, look at Jesus as he resurrects his friend. Not only does he weep over our troubles, but he delivers us from them with great power and efficiency. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." After he wiped away the tears, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out. I mean, this is the word of God, and we believe it, right? Jesus just spoke the name, and we read over that, we gloss over it, and it's sort of like, it's just a miraculous story, but look at it. The man who had died came out, wrapped in some kind of grave clothes. Here is the power of the resurrection. Here is the power of new life, new creation. Here is the power of the voice and the word of God speaking. Dear Florence Alliance Church, I want to tell you that you have one who is the life and the resurrection right in the midst of who you are. He will weep with you, yes, but he will resurrect you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will speak peace when needed. Look at Jesus over and over and over. I've got so many of these, we could stay here all day, but I'm going to wrap it up. Look at Jesus as a man of prayer, as one who was always spirit-led all throughout his life in the Gospels, as one who heals the sick and the lame and ushers in the kingdom of God. Look at Jesus as he lays down his life for his people. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. Dear church, do you hear me today? He says, I know you. I see you. I am your shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep, John 10:14 and 15. Look at Jesus the missionary, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd, John 10:16. Are you following him? Are you united to him? Are you growing in Christ? Are you following him as a missionary, reaching out to others? And as we wrap this up, again, look at verse 2, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Philippians 1:6 backs this up when it says it this way, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, Florence Alliance Church, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." This is Jesus, the one who has started a good work here, in you personally, and you together, church. Will, here's his promise, bring it to completion. He will finish the story. And it's a good story that has a good ending. And Jesus is in every line, in every chapter. Here he is present with his people. You know this famous passage. Again, another glimpse at Jesus. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Draw near. Look at Jesus and draw near. This is my closing to you. Look at Jesus. Personally, are you facing some battle? Are you fighting some battle in your own personal life? Are you enduring some struggle? Are you fighting some sin or some temptation? Are you sick? Do you need healing? Whatever the case may be, look at Jesus. That's my encouragement for you today. And as a church, look at Jesus during this time of transition and draw near to him. Draw near to him. I hope this is okay, I want to wrap this up. Just feel led of the Spirit to call the elders of the church up, if that's okay. Just up front here, I just want to say a prayer over you, and I want to the leadership team, maybe the search committee, whoever is involved in that process, I just like the elders and the leaders of that to come up front. I'd like to pray over you, and church, I want you to pray with me as I pray. Pray for this team that the Lord will lead them and guide them during this transitional time. And as we pray, I'll pray here in just a second. I'm reminded of these lyrics. You know this song, I'm sure. "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look at him. Help me pray, church. Father, as we come before you once again today, we are so grateful for your presence here among us. We are so grateful that we don't need to figure it out. We don't need to have the right skill set or the expertise. God, you know and you see. And I am praying for these dear brothers and sisters, for this team, this leadership team, and this pastoral search committee. I pray over them and for them. I pray that you would lead them and guide them, that you would give them the mind and heart of Christ, and that you would shepherd them as they seek to shepherd this flock. Father, thank you for the good work of the men and women here at this church. Thank you for the good work that I've already seen on display this weekend. So many people pitching in and helping and loving and serving. Thank you, God, for the heart of this beautiful congregation, and I pray over not only the elders and the leadership team, but elders, also help me pray for the congregation. We pray over this wonderful faith family that you would build their faith, that you would knit their hearts even deeper together, and that through this time of transition, Lord, that you would also conform them to the image of Christ, and that you would work in them and shape them at this new chapter. Lord, we give you all the praise, and we know that you have all of this figured out, and we trust in you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship as they sing.
Please stand again with us.